All right, we're going to get rolling. We got a great day today. We got a few more sessions in our Sales Impact Summit. Thanks again for coming back. We have Patrick Flanagan from ADP. If you are thinking about or challenged with getting sales and marketing on the same page with regard to the message, consistency, you're going to like the next 30 minutes. So Patrick, take it away.
Thanks, Matt. How's everybody doing today? I want to thank you for joining me. My name is Patrick Flanagan. As Matt said, I run sales enablement, and more recently, we added marketing enablement to my title, relatively new at ADP. So I'll get started. I'm going to break the ice with a few numbers. How many people are local, by show of hands? So for the, I'm a local now. I've been here about 3 years. I'm a transplant, so I feel comfortable saying I'm from Phoenix. If you're not from Phoenix, like, it is always this beautiful. It is really a great place to live, great people. So the numbers I flashed up here is, depending on what you read, we're the sixth largest city and growing. I think sometimes we're considered the fifth. It's a great community for businesses. So, you know, if you have, you know, an office out here, it's really a great business environment. We have 15 major league teams that do spring training. We're about three weeks away. And the hottest it got last summer was 118 degrees, which I'm not, like, I'd rather have heat than snow any day. And if you want snow, you can drive 3 hours to Flagstaff and get your fill and come back home. So, you know, it's like sticking your head in the oven, but everybody's got pools out here, so it's no big deal. Maybe not the best place to relocate a bunch of redhead kids, but, you know, they'll be fine in the sun. Anybody from the New York area? New York, New Jersey? All right, so for my people back home, New York is the number one city, right? The only team you need to worry about is the Yankees. And if you're hot, you go to the Jersey Shore. So I still have, you know, I go back about once a month. Our headquarters are in Jersey. Still have a lot of friends back there, so I'm very much still an East Coast person. I'm gonna walk you through sales enablement at ADP. People define sales enablement a little different. I know we look like a fairly large company, but what I hope today is kind of walk you through a framework, talk about some of the partners we've had, and some of the challenges we've had from org structure. I think, you know, a lot of this framework, regardless of what size your company is, you know, you'll be able to put some of these practices in place. And really, I'll just walk you through some examples of, you know, how our team approached it, where we even enabled some of this messaging and been able to continue that message to our clients and prospects and partners. And, you know, hopefully you'll take away just some real world examples that you can use with your company. So a little bit about myself. You know, I've been at ADP 13 years. We've only had sales enablement about 5 years. So I was down at the foundation building this. A lot of the partners that we have in the room today were with us from the start, like corporate visions. I think there's a lot of what Tim spoke about yesterday that you'll see ingrained in my presentation, and they've been a really good partner for us as well. So we started with no structure, no process, no idea of what enablement was, and we really had to build it from the ground up. I'm from the DC area, that's where I grew up, in Jersey, and I've driven across country twice since I've moved out here. So if you take anything away from this presentation, at least drive across country once. It's a great experience. I'll, you know, somebody that gets in an airplane for work all the time, I'll drive anywhere and that I'm out here. It's really a beautiful area. So a little bit about ADP, because I think some people know who we are. I think there's probably even some competitors in the audience, but I've had to tell my sister-in-law for 13 years that we are not the security company. So we do not do security, home security. We are, you know, this is from our website. We're back office payroll, HR benefits provider. You know, we've seen a lot of success. You know, we're pretty behind the scenes. But if you think about how you go to work every day and the whole employee experience and how things like legislation and, you know, ACA was a big trigger event for us. And you know, anything that could become in even the most recent presentation, administration, you know, it impacts employers and that impacts employees. So we're all employees. I think we help with that work-life balance experience, but we are, you know, highly commoditized in industry. There's a lot of areas where we need to differentiate, and there's a lot of times where people don't know where we can help them with their issues. So it's a great challenge, and I have a really great job. Some people from my team are here. really great support structure. So, you know, it's enabled us to kind of build out the sales enablement function. So, throw a couple more numbers out there. So we have about 12 business lines at ADP. We have about 7,000 sellers globally. And my team runs about, say, 500 projects a year, big, small, whatever. They could be campaigns, they could be lead nurturing programs, they could be sales training programs. So I'll walk you through how we're structured, because I know a lot of people think of sales enablement as just training. We're kind of quite the opposite. We're kind of more of a marketing arm of sales, but now we've built up our marketing function a lot more. So that alignment, that piece of connecting people, has been more and more important for us. We started 5 years ago. Really the point of this, I'm not showing any numbers or anything, but we've been able to kind of slowly like increase revenue for the company over the years by adding new programs, but with very little cost added. We might have added new functions to the team, you know, new people, but our program spend has stayed relatively flat. So when we started, we were just a campaign organization. So there was a, I think Madison Logic had a presentation yesterday where they're talking about campaigns being point in time, like you start, you stop, you start, you stop. That's what we were doing. And you know, we were building the foundation for enablement, but we were basically just running campaigns for the field. Then we added a lead center. So you know, we have a team of LDRs that qualify and reject leads. We add them to nurturing programs. We stood all that up. I'll talk a little bit about our tech stack and how we do that. And then we added mobile selling for our field reps. We have a lot of mobile tools right now, and they're not just presentation tools. They're kind of functional tools. They actually do stuff, you know, as far as electronic sales order. You know, we're a Salesforce shop, so we've built a lot of applications on top of Salesforce that you wouldn't kind of get out of the box. And really, you know, social selling. I have a woman that works for me, Liz Kapinski. She's a superstar of social selling. She's really tapped into the community, and we've come a long way with that. And there's some partners in the room that we've worked with to kind of help, you know, enable our social selling. And you know, we work with LinkedIn very closely as well. But really, you know, what we're focused on in the last 3 years is bringing marketing into the fold. So that marketing enablement piece. So a lot of people, you know, when you look at the vendors here today, it's like you could really build an impressive marketing stack. And we're in the process of going through that right now. The thing that kind of ties it all together, and the reason, you know, the title of my presentation is what messages you wanna send out. So I'm gonna paint a little bit of a picture of the complexity of the environment and how the messaging kind of ties it all together. So, you know, real quick, we've won a couple of awards. This is more a shout out to my team because they're in the room right now. We've put a lot of thought into how we stood up enablement. Adding the marketing piece, you know, I'm looking to do more in this space. Like when we built the team a couple years ago, account-based marketing wasn't as much of a buzzword as it's been the past 2 days. And I think that's the direction we're going in, depending on our market, depending on our target buyer, we'd be you know, probably looking to stand up more of those programs. So in 2015, when I kind of took over the group, we had three core functions. The campaign team, which is what we're built on, we added lead center, and we added sales messaging to it. And we were kind of seen as like the bridge between marketing and sales. So at the same time, we started adding other marketing functions. So we have brand, PR, you know, like almost every firm does. And we started bringing in product marketing. We had, you know, segment marketing leaders. And we started bringing in some specialists in content marketing as well. I'm sure there's a lot of content marketers here. So that connection got more and more complex for us because everybody owns sort of a piece of the message, but you can't have people doing separate message in separate places. And we were kind of known as the messaging machine because, you know, we're a very sales-driven organization. We worked with Corporate Visions, I think, about 18 years now we've been a client. And we really use their methodology and pulling our messaging together, our sales messaging. So we had this big body of work, but it was very disconnected from the marketing folks. So a marketer would come in and say, I'm gonna go to an agency, they're gonna do a messaging playbook. Product marketing would have a different take on what messaging and storytelling should be. And really the challenge was how do we pull out that together? And then you factor in the complex tech stack. So like our stack is aligned to the buying and selling process. You know, one thing, you know, as I was talking to people at the event yesterday, we're pretty well known for having a great sales process, and we have a world-class sales organization. It's a sales machine. So bringing marketing into the mix is a little bit of a challenge. We're big off Salesforce. We have a huge inside sales team now. We have mobile apps, and a lot of these terms, you know, are custom apps we've built on top of Salesforce. So, you know, the opportunity to share that message and what you say to people varies at different times. Like, I'm not even touching the marketing stack, and I have all these little inputs. So we have to craft that message very carefully and make sure, you know, we're taking the right opportunity to pull that together. So today, you know, it's kind of teeing up the picture of the issues we face, and this is just our own internal issues. I haven't even talked about buyer complexity and what buyers are, or how much more difficult it is on the B2B side for us now. A little bit of how we tackled the messaging, and then how we enabled it, like what we use in our tech stack to push those messages out. So the issues of the balance of power of shift to the buyers. They're further along the process. This is nothing new. If you guys have seen the research, some of the speakers, you know, they're further along that buying process before they get to us. And they're looking for more expertise from sales. So I already know I want to buy something from you, but, you know, tell me why I would buy yours versus somebody else's. Tell me what is really going to solve my problem if you come at me with a suite of services. You know, what's the right fit? And there's more vehicles to influence customers. I saw G2 crowds here, you know, the whole peer-to-peer, and then yesterday the closing session about word of mouth. It's really kind of changed the space for us. I mean, it's consumerizing the B2B business a little bit, where, you know, the same way you'd shop for a restaurant and look at reviews and stuff, you could literally do that for some of the B2B software that's out there today. So, you know, what we did is we gathered all these messaging inputs across the business. We looked at the personas we're trying to reach. So, you know, understanding your audience, these are all inputs to the plan. Like, I wouldn't say everything we put out there is persona-based, because we're a big company, we try to touch a lot of different people. But, you know, we have to consider that as an input to the plan, like what's important to them, and not just, you know, what their critical business issues are, what's keeping them up at night, but where they go to get information and how they prefer to consume that information. And I think that's what factors in, you know, the tech stack and enables us to kind of accelerate that sales process. So when you look at our website, you know, a lot of small businesses, they go to the vendor website still for information. We want to make sure you have a reason for them to go there and that they keep coming back there. And it's a resource for them. So it's not just about pushing our product in their face, but giving them information to help them make decisions and make them feel like, yeah, I know I need this, I'm trying to solve this problem, but if I could solve more, or I could plan for the future, if I just, you know, maybe open my eyes to a new way of solving the problem. And that's what we try to do digitally. And then we need to inform the seller of like where that buyer's been. So when they're on the sales call, they come there equipped for that conversation. So, you know, they're researching more online and social, which I touched on that a little bit. Buyers are also want a more personalized experience. I'll show you how we've done that a little bit. And they expect more from the sales experience. And that's where some of these mobile applications have helped us a bit. You know, when we came out with a mobile solution a couple years ago, it was all iOS-based. And there were some challenges when you get up market. There's some, you know, pre-planning you want to do, and there's some tailoring you want to do with the message. And some of these mobile applications are kind of in a box and are kind of canned. You can't really guide the seller through it. So we've come up with some new technology and new applications that give the seller the ability to customize that presentation, but also gives us some insight back on like what they're actually showing on the sales call. And that kind of helps inform the marketing plan. So I know my presentation today is really heavy on the sales side because I've been in sales for so long, but it's really how we can use that information that we get from these tools provide it to the marketing folks, and help them build their plans based off of what the buyer is experiencing, not based off of what we want to tell them. So, you know, the complexity on the buyer side is there's so many inputs to the message. So I go to the website, I have a much different experience than if I'm out just reading posts on Twitter, if I'm talking to a partner like my accountant or my benefits broker. There's peer review sites, there's referral programs, there's all these things that need messaging. And the way we were disconnected is there's different people in charge of these different programs. So we had no consistent way to go about doing it. So we realigned our team, so now we're sales and marketing enablement. It's where the buyer experience is meeting the selling experience. So, you know, we're heavily involved in the technology decisions now of what we buy. We work very closely with our Salesforce automation team and IT and what we stand up. We support, you know, very tied to inside sales with our lead development reps. We actually have outbound team now as well, which is a new addition for us this year. And, you know, I am joined at the hip with our content marketing team. So as they're looking at things through the lens of a persona, we're looking at it through the lens of a seller and what we need to get to that persona. So that connection, you know, I'd say is still very much a work in progress for us right now. But our best source of material has been some of the sessions we've come up with corporate visions to identify who our target buyer is, what keeps them up at night, and then really create our value behind it. So when we looked across the enterprise, there's a lot of similarities. And a lot of those similarities treat up to our brand pillars, which was good news. But you know, making sure everybody's using the same terminology and is on the same page has been really the marketing challenge for us right now. So this framework is probably loosely based on some stuff we got from Serious Decisions. I wouldn't say I own it. Any stats in here? If anybody's fact checking me. It's what I was told, I think is what you're supposed to say nowadays. So they might be off. I don't know if we're the fifth largest city or the sixth largest city, but you know, this is a framework that works for us. And you can see, you know, if you can read it, is different groups own different parts of the process. And enablement has kind of helped tie everything across the spectrum of all the inputs we need to build great messaging. So, you know, if I'm saying something different on my website than my seller says when they show up to the sales call, or I'm not providing the right information to where that lead's gone and who they've talked to before they show up to the sale, you know, it's a very disconnected experience. It's like we've all been there where somebody shows up, does a demo, or does a capabilities deck, you know, that's kind of in a box, canned presentation. You know, coming in with very little insight or ability to help you through that process. So, you know, where we started was with the persona work. So, you know, we've done some research of who we're trying to sell to, small businesses, CFOs, HR leaders, what keeps them up at night, where they go for resources. We have some company-wide messages. You know, this is, again, a very generic framework. I don't have any of our actual messages in here. We have three core pillars. You might have four, you might have two. You know, you might have a very simple product, but we have very complex space right now. And then we have an overall value statement. In each one of our business lines, that value statement might be a little different. So a small business owner might have you know, different needs than somebody in an enterprise space, but we want to put a value prop out there. And a lot of that comes through the sessions we've done with the messaging workshops. But now we're pulling those marketing folks in. So they're not off doing, I'll talk a little bit how those workshops come together, but they're not off doing separate bodies of work anymore. So it's a little backwards from my sense that it's coming from like the field up. You know, it's kind of more of a grassroots effort. But now that we have everybody on the same page and we're doing separate bodies of work, this framework comes together a lot smoothly. You know, smoother. So if you look down on the, you know, the themes, you know, we have our marketing segment leaders coming up with the themes for their space. The differentiators really, you know, working with our product marketing team. So they're an input to the plan. They're not off creating their own is, does, means documents, you know, working with product without getting field input. It's really a collaborative effort now. And then we have outputs that we create on the sales messaging side where we use our point of view pitch. We have ways to connect to our product, because one thing we realized is we had done so much of, you know, what's the issues, what are the critical business issues for the buyer, we didn't really connect them back to like how we can help them. So a lot of these tools kind of takes them all the way back to, okay, you have this issue, this is what keeps you up at night, this is how we can actually help you with that. And then, you know, you have to look at the competitive environment, because, you know, I think everybody's in the B2B space, there's always some competitor that lines up equally to you, so you want to make sure you're differentiating yourself. And all that forms the content strategy. So when I work with our content marketing team, we create editorial calendars for our blogs, we create what type of assets we need for that quarter, probably do it on a quarterly basis, it's hard to do a whole year. And we have a bit of a seasonality to our business too, so like certain seasons get a little heavier than others. And then we, you know, I can't say enough how much, you know, working with Corporate Visions has kind of helped us pull this together, but we're probably a unique relationship where we run a lot of these sessions ourselves. Sometimes we bring in Tim and his team, but you know, we have this kind of down to a science, but now we have all these inputs on the left-hand side. So, you know, we have buyer's journey mapping, we have, you know, product marketing, we have all these inputs that we didn't have before. But instead of them being off to the side doing their own thing, they're now part of the process and our output's gotten much better. So we get, you know, a robust content roadmap and we start fueling our programs like campaigns, lead nurturing, and some of the sales tools I'm gonna show you. So it doesn't always work out, you know, perfectly, but you know, a challenge we've had recently with our international team is, you know, we have people all over the place in Europe, for example. It's a region for us. They, you know, it's hard to stretch those resources and everybody thinks they're uniquely different. But when we brought everybody together in this workshop we did about 3 or 4 months ago, we got everybody on the same page with like what our value prop is. And we're rolling out this week actually over in Europe, and we've done, here's the message. We've used executive conversations with like how you deliver that message. And then we have a tool, like now go use this tool to go communicate to your prospects and clients. So we've had a lot of success of marrying the tools and the messaging together on launch. I just want to hit on real quick, like we're very focused on the client experience right now. So making sure that message, you know, Tim talked about why stay. We're not like a renewal-based business. So we, you know, we want to make sure we get in front of those clients so they understand why they purchased from us, see the value and like activate, you know, what they have today. So we don't get in that situation where we're losing clients on the back end. We're, you know, scratching the surface with this, but I think this goes with client advocacy, getting referral business, word of mouth. So a lot of the stuff that Tim talked about yesterday is we're trying to incorporate that into what we do at ADP as well. So, you know, always on, like shifting from point in time campaigns to always on messaging. So, you know, we have stood up a lot of lead nurturing programs. We've used some new technology. Lookbook has been a really good partner of ours, where we've done the kind of binge content and sped up the nurturing process. And that really helps us tee up the business issues. We're not getting into product conversations. We're not, you know, sharing, you know, things that are all about ADP beating our chest, but it's more about teeing up those issues that we uncover in the messaging workshops, feeds into our nurture, and makes them think about, you know, why change, why now, and why us. And then we use the lead development reps to kind of help us, you know, be the human touch in that process. And I'm sure a lot of you have SDR, LDR teams, you use them the same way, but having them versed on the messaging and the purpose of the program has been really helpful for us. So campaigns still run. We still have these point in time, you know, trigger events and initiatives that we work with the sales teams to stand those up. But you know, nurturing is something that we've had up and running for a couple years now. We use Eloqua, we use Salesforce. We have some other additions that we're adding to Eloqua that's helping us with that as well. And then we look at the whole base of how we can, you know, upsell clients, how we can onboard clients, subscription-based programs, stalled opportunities. So we try to look at the business, see what they need, look at our data, where do we have the data for it, and try to, I wouldn't say check the box, but make sure we're activating in the right way for all these programs. So we have a great lead center. Team is built up from nothing, and we've added a lot of roles to that over the years. And then our sales effectiveness team, which really was owning the messaging piece of it, you know, we're focused more and more on sales process and sales tools now. So, you know, what I'm seeing on the tool side, and I think there's some statistics out there that every time you launch a new sales tool, you could be hurting more than helping the seller of like, I gotta learn something new now. But having content activated in these tools and getting the reporting back can help us create the right messages going further. So we've shifted to this like product ownership where we have people that own the tools that happen in that step of the sale, so we can have that consistency across the messaging. And also you tie a process that a salesperson needs to go through, like account planning, for example, to access to content and messaging that way. So, you know, we do the same thing on the social selling side. So we started, you know, I think the key thing is not so much what tool you use, but that you have a training program in place and that our sellers understand how to use Navigator, how to prospect and profile, when to share content and how to share content. And these content sharing platforms have been very powerful for me to take that back to the marketing teams and say, all right, we're telling people to share all this content, but when we look at the reporting, we see they're consuming a different, like not necessarily consuming what we're asking them to share. So we're trying to inform the plan a little bit better with the tools and the data we have right now. And you know, social is embedded into our process. It's not like a specialist role anymore. It's really part of everything that our sellers do on a day-to-day basis. On-demand marketing, there's a lot of different ways you can approach this. So we have a tool where we've worked with Eloqua. There's things out of the box in your marketing automation system. There's things you could buy. We're a pretty regulated environment, so we need to lock down a lot of our content. But this does give them the ability to customize the message, lets them kind of be their own marketer, run their own marketing program. And that's, again, I can pull reporting from this, so we can see what our sellers are using, provide that back to marketing, and they can use that to kind of shape the plan from a messaging perspective. This is what our iPad tool looks like. So we start with what are your issues. We don't start with product, but this is the international piece. It works both on a laptop and an iPad, so it's kind of like a TurboTax type thing. We're using a company called Big Tin Can right now. It's kind of a goofy name, but they've been a pretty good provider. We talk about, you know, their market issues. We talk about what's the impact to you. And then we try to tie them back to, well, this is a way to do it, and ADP can help you with it, and then we start talking about our product. But that might not all happen in one sales call. So like they could stop and start from there. They can, you know, and we can track all that, and again, that's more information I can bring back to marketing to help shape that plan. So, you know, this complexity has opened up new opportunities for us. So there's ways to communicate to your clients in product. There's live events, you know, for lead generation. All this is tied together by the messaging. So like if I go out with an event and I'm not saying the same thing I'm saying on my website that I'm saying on my sales call, you know, we really want to identify the key themes by pulling all these bodies of work together and making sure everybody's on the same page. So sales enablement used to be connecting marketing and sales, but now it's connecting sales with everybody, like product, client service. It's gotten more and more complex. I'm down to about a minute, so really where I see this is going from here is, you know, the buying experience is reaching out to more influencers, activating your blogs to make them more of a lead gen source and tied to the rest of the stuff you're doing from a marketing perspective, tapping into social, paying attention to the peer review sites, incorporating buyer personas, the product complexity and the whole client experience into your messaging framework and make sure everybody's aligned, using this data to inform the marketing teams on how to pull the content together. Cleaning up your data, I have data on here twice, cleaning up your data and also sharing the data with the right folks will help you pull the plan. So I know that was pretty fast and a lot of content, but I have about 30 seconds for questions. But I'd be happy to talk to anybody after the presentation. I know it looks like we're a really big company and it's hard to tackle, or we might have a ton of resources, but in reality is like you could probably take some of these elements, simple it down for your company, get the right partners behind you. Some of these vendors have been great partners for us, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without them. So thanks for your time today.